Welcome to this edition of Buy Hold Sell, brought to you by Livewire Markets, Australia's number one website for expert investment analysis. Buy Hold Sell is a weekly show where two fund managers share their views on a selection of listed companies in their area of expertise. Buyers and sellers are what make the market, and you'll find that our guests don't always agree on the stocks being covered. Hit the subscribe button on your podcast player to be the first to receive new episodes each week. If there are stocks you'd like our guests to discuss, let us know by leaving a comment in the review segment. Remember, the views expressed in this show are not recommendations to invest. You should seek appropriate investment advice before making any investment decisions. And of course, please read the disclaimer in the show's notes. Let's get into the show.
And welcome to Livewire's Buy Hold Sell. I'm Ali Selby, and today we'll be getting into the Olympic spirit and putting Aussie dividends to the test. While they suffered a major blow during 2020, dividends and other capital management initiatives such as buybacks are well and truly back. Today I'm joined by Neil Margolis from Merlon Capital and Don Hampson from Plato for this deep dive into income. Plus, they'll also be sharing two dividend champions for the months to come. First up, let's talk about COVID-19. It's the reason why we're filming from home today, but it's also completely changed the dividend landscape. Investors traditionally relied on the big four banks and the likes of Telstra. Now iron ore is the talk of the town. Don, I might start on you. Is this a permanent change in the dividend landscape?
Not really. I mean, the banks are coming back quite strongly this year. So on our numbers, three banks and three iron ore miners are the top six dividend payers, and that'll probably continue for a while. But I think Westpac will probably try and push its way back into the top again. So last year was just a temporary dip in dividends for the banks, and they say they're coming back very strongly.
Neil, do you agree? Is this a temporary change in the dividend landscape? And do you see this as an opportunity or a risk?
Look, I think it's a temporary change. And I do think whenever one or two sectors dominate the dividends, it's normally a sign that it's not sustainable. I mean, I had a quick look today. I agree with the top six. But if you look at the top seven, the four banks and the three iron ore miners, it's actually 56% of the dividends that the stockbrokers expect the markets to pay, of which 31% coming from three iron ore companies, which is obviously fantastic. But, I mean, they were only 3% 5 years ago. So I do think it does point to some potential risks to how sustainable the dividends are, because those seven stocks are all very heavily dependent on factors outside their control, the banks being obviously unemployment and the iron ore miners being the iron ore price.
Reporting season has just kicked off, Neil. Is there a sector in particular that you think will see substantial dividend growth?
Yeah, well, the miners, I mean, we've already discussed. I mean, the retailers, I think, will do very well. Obviously, they're getting a one-off boost from stay at home, from limited travel, closed borders and government stimulus. A lot of them are taking an opportunity to pay off debt. And of course, a lot of them are in market leadership positions. So they've actually gained market share. Now, the likes of JB Hi-Fi, Harvey Norman, Super Retail have actually gained market share through the pandemic. They had stronger balance sheets, better online offerings, and some of the independents. And we often see this. And they came in quite cheap. So that would probably be one sector that could do quite well.
Don, do you agree? Are there any sectors in particular that could really benefit over reporting season?
Oh, I agree with Neil, actually. We like the retailers, but we really do like the iron ore miners. You've already seen Rio's result was sort of a 260% increase in dividends if you count the special. So we think there'll be some really big increases from Fortescue and BHP as well. So they're at the top of the list. And I know that, you know, there's clearly risk with iron ore prices, but these dividends are pretty much in the bag, given that, you know, iron ore prices are currently still staying very high and were very high last half.
Don, staying on you, are there any areas of the market where you think expectations are not in line with the dividends that could come through?
Well, clearly travel stocks are still under pressure, but people aren't expecting any from them. So I think the areas that are under real pressure, though, are actually shopping centres and to a lesser extent, the office trusts. So I think you'll find, you know, continuing push of rent problems there, closed stores, etc. And some of the retailers aren't doing as well, but we like the ones Neil likes as well. So I think that's an area that could come under quite a bit of pressure in the next few months.
Is that from the extended lockdowns that we're seeing at the moment?
I think it's both the lockdowns, but also the fact that, you know, people who even never bought things on the internet are now using the internet a lot, and so we've seen you know, the structural change from shopping in shopping centres to shopping at home has been rapidly encouraged by COVID, and so that's I think a structural change that's just been heightened by the pandemic.
Neil, over to you. Are there any areas of the market where you think dividend growth has been undervalued by investors?
Yeah, I guess the, I mean, you can look at one option, which is where surplus franking credits exist in the market. I mean, we quite like the fuel retailers, Ampol and Viva. Ampol in particular has 800 million of surplus franking. They were the subject of a takeover offer just before COVID. They've been selling some properties. Obviously, they are affected by the lockdown, so they might be a little cautious, but we think if it's not this season, in the next season or two, we could see some good dividends out of them. You've got the demand recovery as well. We quite like the health insurers, which is a sector that's also benefiting from lower claims, less elective procedures, very low-risk insurers. Of course, they also had a windfall. We discussed the retailers. I agree, property trust, they also have lots of debt. So not only do they have some rent issues, but they also have lots of debt, which could constrain their ability. That's on the negative side.
Let's talk about Commonwealth Bank. It's one of the largest dividend payers in the market. What are your expectations around its capital management initiatives in August?
Yeah, well, CBA, look, it's very well flagged. They've got about $10 billion of surplus capital and $2 billion of surplus franking. So it's speculated they could return maybe $5 billion. I just want to remind listeners that the market value of Commonwealth Bank is $180 billion. So $9 billion is only 5%. So it is good, but it's probably been a little bit overhyped. Banks are very leveraged. I mean, if their bad debts had to go from 0.3% of loans to 1% of loans, the earnings would halve, and so would the dividends. So I just want to remind, I mean, we're in a very good macro environment. It wasn't so long ago that people were reminded that they are quite risky. And the last thing I'd say on buybacks from banks is National Australia Bank does take the cake, where they're buying back $2.5 billion now at $28, but a year ago they raised $5 billion at $14. So it doesn't take, you don't need to be very good at maths to realise how many extra shares are lying around on that transaction.
Don, over to you. Is there a different bank that you think that we should be paying attention to?
Well, I think there's also potential for an off-market buyback from Westpac as well, because they also have excess franking. So everyone's talking about CBA, but Westpac has, well, they all have excess capital, and it's only CBA and Westpac that really have the franking to be able to do an off-market. So, you know, I think Westpac may be in a position to do one as well.
We've talked about the big four banks. Are there any other companies that you think are likely to introduce any capital management initiatives this reporting season?
Well, we've already seen Metcash do an off-market buyback, maybe Woolworths as well. They've obviously been selling Endeavour. And we've already seen Telstra sold its towers for a good price and is going to return some of that to shareholders. So we expect an announcement there pretty soon. So in those areas that are doing well, particularly if they've sold things, then there's the potential for capital management.
Okay, Don, we asked you to bring along one dividend champion for us today. What have you brought for us?
It's an interesting stock, CSR. You don't think of it as a dividend champion, but it's one of our top-rated stocks. The building cycle is obviously very strong, and it's pretty cheap. So we think a combination of good business momentum and reasonable valuation and a reasonable dividend. So that's the stock I brought today.
Neil, can you beat CSR? What's the stock you've brought for us today?
Well, we do like Ampol. I said that it's actually got the surplus franking is more than 10% of their market value at 800 million. It's a very good industry structure. It used to be quite competitive, but the supermarkets have exited fuel retailing, I guess. So demand's a bit weak now, but we know it will recover. And then the other thing, they've been losing money with their refining business, but only 2 months ago, the government basically agreed to backstop both their refiner and Viva's refinery business, remove the losses and underwrite some profits just to ensure fuel security. So one of the risks there was the refining business losing money and on the international stage, and that's been taken away. They've got the surplus franking, they're selling properties. And if they don't return that surplus capital, someone else will. And I recall that takeover back in December 19, that Canadian company was actually using Ampol's own franking credits to pay for it, which I thought was quite clever.
Well, that's all we have time for today. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Buy, Hold, Sell. If you did, why not give it a like? Remember to subscribe to our YouTube channel. We're adding new content every week.
Thanks for listening to Buy, Hold, Sell, brought to you by LiveWire Markets, Australia's number one source of expert investment analysis. Register for free at livewiremarkets.com to discover more exclusive investing articles, videos, and podcasts.